The book begins with a preface by Gary Delmar, and he says at the center of every worldview is what might be called the touchstone proposition, right? So a proposition is a statement that's either true or false, right? So that's the idea of, you know, what he's getting at here. The basic proposition, this, a statement that is, you know, is kind of the we might say, the thesis statement, right? Right. So a touchstone proposition, and here it is, of the world that of the worldview, right? So the center of every worldview is what might be called, he says, the touchstone proposition of that worldview. It's a proposition that is held to be the fundamental truth about reality and serves as a criterion to determine which other propositions may or may not count as candidates for belief, right? So it's the key, it's the touchstone, it's the major idea, and everything else, all the rest of the truths or statements or propositions kind of center around this touchstone proposition.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's the ultimate standard. It's the swinging door. It's the things that you'll let in and say, oh, yep, this agrees with me, or this is the things to keep out and say, I don't agree with this, and here are the reasons why, because the things aren't able to kind of cross the threshold. And we talked about this with our book, How to Be an Atheist, by Mitch Stokes, mm-hmm. Dr. Mick Stokes. And, you know, he talks about that everyone has this. The most nerdiest of all scientists who doesn't trespass into the world of politics or department politics or anything. He just wants to sit there with his beakers and lab kits and reams full of data. And he looks at that data with an understanding that there are things that he can let in and the things that he can't, he won't allow to come in, right, because,
that are unacceptable based on, right, how he views, right, the way the world, right, works. Right?
And this isn't a denial of reality here. It's presuppositions or ideas that come in. So the idea that, the world is flat is not a way that NASA scientists can let come in, or their calculations will be off and they won't be able to get people to and from the International Space Station. And so those ideas aren't allowed to kind of cross that threshold. It's not part of their ultimate standard that they allow, because they're unable to then work within the framework of that kind of second step, is establishing your foundation and then building upon it and doing things with it. Mm. And so that's what's being talked about here. So DeMar goes on to say that defending the Christian worldview against unbelieving thought takes an understanding that every worldview has a centralized guiding principle that serves as a foundational operational assumption about the nature of reality. Is it real?
So this is kind of a metaphysical claim, right? Every worldview has a metaphysics, right? The nature of reality type of thing that it takes as basic to what the way the world is, mm-hmm. and how it operates and that sort of thing. And I think that's what he's getting at,
yeah,
here, right?
Yeah. Is it all a simulation? Is it all is it all just in my mind? Or is reason and logic just there as a human construct that works, or is there something more to that?
Is it physical, or mm-hmm. is all the world physical, just a material type of world, or are there non-physical elements, yeah, of the world, that, yeah, kind of stuff? Those are, you know, kind of basic guiding principles of a person's worldview.
Right. Morality. The clash of human history is a clash between different standards of morality. Genghis Khan, versus the Chinese population that he brutalized and conquered and overtook in more ways than one. You have George Washington who operates on power not being grabbed completely, and the more ethical point of view is to give it away after 8 years or whatever. Yeah. So depending on which area of reality you're talking about, these things come into play. But then at the very foundation of it all is kind of where we want to point to and where it starts. So Christians tend to attack symptoms, the rotten fruit of unbelieving thought, he calls it, rather than expose the root that gives life to a tree. So you might have someone that says, oh, Jesus never existed. Here's 72 different articles talking about how Jesus existed. We're very confident. There's a high probability, according to whatever model, it comes to one or close to one, and we're more confident in it than not. And so I'm going to kind of shotgun approach and try and take the hill that way by just throwing numbers at it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to kind of do that. But when that becomes the only basis for how we do it, or there's actually a better way to do it, which is to talk about things like the knowledge of history. And, okay, so Jesus never existed. How do you understand history? Are we able to know things that happened yesterday or before the age of the video camera? Or are we just, all liars and there's no one that is able to be accurate with the understanding of history? And so those things, again, you instead of confronting the opposition that way, you take a step back and say, okay, what are the foundation underlying beliefs of that statement that's being put forth? And so that's the one where we can, he says, expose the root. And so we have a better understanding of what that person's idea of what history is, then we can then go on to inform them and talk about the competing views of history. Mm. The Bible says that the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, with the result that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Right. And so instead of tackling this, the symptoms, he's suggesting we go toward the root, the fundamental operational assumption of the particular worldview that we're considering, right?